Hey y'all, I'm going to take a look at Luke's continuing depiction of Jesus' confrontation with the temple and the temple authorities. This is after the parable of the wicked tenants, and it picks up in verse 19. The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them, but they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. So they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach rightly and show no partiality, but teach the way of God. Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not?" But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose likeness and inscription does it have?" They said, "Caesar's." He said to them, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were not able in the presence of the people to catch him in what he said, but marveling at his answers, they became silent. I just love this scene. I've always loved this moment, as any of the gospel writers tell it. Remember, in Luke, he's emphasized the escalating tensions, and we have to see that Jesus has canceled interrupted temple sacrifices and is teaching instead. And he has these large crowds that are hanging on every word and really pleased with what he's saying, maybe chuckling at the way he's showing up the authorities in Jerusalem. And so it's this really tense moment. And Jesus knows that crowds are fickle. He knows he can't entrust himself to crowds. But he is nonetheless, in this case, using the crowds and using the fact that the authorities are deeply concerned about the crowds to continue teaching and to show that the authorities don't know what they're talking about. And in fact, I would suggest that's part of what's going on is Jesus is trying to show everyone just how little the authorities know and how wrong they get the scriptures. So all these things are going on, and it's in that context that the temple authorities in particular, probably the Sadducees, send spies. They send people to try to flatter Jesus and get him to say something that will get him in trouble, ideally that will get him in trouble with the authorities. They're hoping he's something of a tax rebel or a libertarian and trying to get him to say something that's going to get him in trouble with the government. And they pose the question, do we pay taxes to Caesar or not? And there's no easy answer to this question. If you answer it in the false dichotomy way they give it, you're going to wind up offending some group. And so they're trying to get him to lose his crowd by offending somebody. And I would say that it would be like asking a question about, well, do you wear masks or not on social media today? It would create a firestorm, right, of controversy. It would not create a nuanced argument of what is appropriate in differing circumstances with differing principles. So it leads to polarization, and that's precisely what they want. They want Jesus to get canceled by one group or another, the crowds or the authorities. So Jesus says, "Show me a denarius." Now, these coins in particular had an image of Caesar, which, according to Jews, was idolatry. You don't make human images of humans. And secondly, it had an inscription that addressed Herod as, or Caesar as, a son of God, a divine being. So it's a kind of a double problem for Jews. And they say, well, it's Caesar's. Now, this is really key. They say, should we give the tax? The word they use is give. Jesus, in his answer, says render. And what that means, straightforwardly, is give back. In other words, it originally belonged to that person, so give it back to them. So it's as if Jesus is saying, oh, well, it's Caesar's coin, so give it back to him. But then he goes on to say, but you're God's, so give yourself back to God. The implication being that they've taken themselves out of God's hands. Jesus is saying, you owe Caesar the coin in your pocket. You do owe the government something. But you owe God the very life that you live every day, and you should give it back to him. So this is, again, it's a brilliant evasion of the false dichotomy they give him. It is an indictment of those who are trying to trap him because it says, hey, you've taken yourself out of God's hands. You need to give yourself back to God. And finally, I think it says that, you know, there are things we owe to governments and there are things we owe to God. And what we owe to God is much greater. But we do owe some things to government. But if ever those things should clash, then we have to make a decision. But Jesus gives no blanket statement of what to do in every case. He acknowledges the varying loyalties or duties we owe. But he says the greater thing we owe is to God. Of course, we see this coming up later in the book of Acts when the authorities say, don't preach in this name anymore. And Peter says, listen, whether it's right for us to obey God or you on this matter, you decide. So there's a case where Peter says, I'm sorry, we can't render anything to you in this. We have to obey God. So finally, notice that it says they could not answer anymore because of the crowds. They know they're whipped. They know they're humiliated. And again, I would suggest that at least a significant part of the motive for crucifying Jesus is this humiliation. Unfortunately, their response is not, oh, you know, he's got a point. But we're well past that, I think, at this point in the Gospel of Luke. So may we do our duty and have wisdom to know what we owe our civil authorities. But most importantly, may we render ourselves, our lives, our bodies as living sacrifices to the God who made us and the one who redeemed us in Jesus Christ. Amen.